In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Saint Albert the Great, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to continue on page 33, volume 14, 9, 11, 19, 22. And let me just see if I can find that here. Okay. And hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. Okay. Oh, I see what I'm doing. Dear. Okay, here we go. Okay, so Jesus says to Louisa, and again, this is very, very important that we see this, we hear this. It's not to bring discouragement, but it's really to understand what this gift is. At first, Jesus says, there will be very few. Okay, there'll be very few who will begin to live in the divine will. Because Jesus says the majority of humanity, even good people, holy people, saintly people, they have their human will. They live the life that they want. They're living. And so what happens is, you know, a lot of people say, well, I have my saint. You know, I have Saint Teresa of Lisieux. I have Saint Teresa of Avila. I have John of the Cross, the great saints, mystics of the church. I don't need another saint because they believe that's what Louisa is, just another devotion, a devotional life. But what does Jesus say to Saint Faustina? Jesus says to Saint Faustina, again, it's very, very clear. He says to Saint Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. So the whole idea of a devotion, this is a life. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, not the lives of the saints that had a virtue or two of Jesus and Mary, but it's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary that Louisa possesses. So the Lord says, what he is calling right now is for those who are embracing the divine will, that they be the yeast, and everyone else, and all of us of humanity is the dough, is the flour. And you don't need much yeast to bring leaven to the bread. So Jesus is saying there's only going to be a few at first. So a lot of people are trying to promote Louisa in a saintly way, a good way, a holy way. And I remember Archbishop Cassati said to us in 1997, you're promoting Louisa in a human way, a saintly way. He says it has to be promoted in a divine manner. And I remember questioning to myself, basically, what does this mean? What's a divine manner? And Jesus explains that to us through Louisa, that he wants us to begin to live this life as much as we can. And no one has it fully yet, because this great outpouring of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, has to take place. So many people feel that, oh, we got to get a whole bunch of people to know Louisa. And that's not how it goes. We're to know Louisa. But why? The Book of Heaven was given to us. So we have a duty and a responsibility to read, to study, to put into practice the truths that Jesus gave to Louisa. And Jesus says, I want the divine will in the midst of creatures. I want the divine will in the midst of your family, in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your coworkers, in the midst of your parishioners. When that is there, Jesus says, he, the Lord, will bring people in. So what we see is that when we strive to do our rounds, our acts and our rounds of the divine will, what happens is someone in China begins to live in it. Someone in India begins to live it. It's almost as if God says now the next person or the next group of people who are ready to enter into this gift. It's the yeast is bringing to life the flower. It is bringing to life, and it happens step by step, bubble by bubble, if you want to say, in the bread, you know, these air bubbles that are coming up. So Jesus says this. He says, there shall be few, but even be it even one alone. It was not one alone. Was it not one alone? Was it not Adam who withdrew from my divine will? Adam who disfigured and broke my plans? Adam who destroyed the purpose of creation? So Jesus is showing us that because of Adam's original sin, the purpose of creation was destroyed. And this is why for the last 6,000 years, Jesus says, we've been really not living the life that God breathed into Adam, this Ruach of God, this breath of God into Adam. And so Jesus, 2,000 years ago, came to earth to redeem. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ on Calvary. She was with him on Calvary. Her heart was split in two like Jesus's heart. And Jesus says it was a miracle that she survived, but it was the divine will that helped her survive. And so the purpose of creation was we were redeemed, we would be restored to go and begin to live the life that Adam breathed in, that God breathed into Adam. So this is where we are now. This is what Jesus gave to Louisa. And when you read the Book of Heaven, what happens is you become aware that like it wasn't time for Moses and the prophets to receive the sacraments, none of them were baptized, none of them were ontologically changed for with holy baptism, none of them received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Is it because they were bad? No, it wasn't time. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus is saying, now's the time for sanctification. Well, he brought redemption, and now of creation was of the Father, redemption is of the Son, and sanctification is of the Holy Spirit. And so this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is coming, and that's basically what John Paul II was trying to get the world ready for. He says we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. He says we're going to begin we're going to get ready for the third millennium, the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. What God has done is he's predestined us to live at this time. He's chosen us to live at this time because he has a plan, and we're part of his plan, and it's to fulfill the purpose of creation. So Jesus says, in the same way, one alone can adore the purpose of creation and fulfill it in its purpose. One person alone. So he's saying this to Louisa because this is what God gave to Louisa. And Jesus said, basically, if you're the only one that's going to do this, Louisa, I will be satisfied. As one destroyed, Jesus comes as the new Adam. Mary comes as the new Eve to bring again this abundant life, this universal life, this Catholic life. And so now they have a newborn, Louisa. And it's important for us to know that God is asking us, he's offering to us what he gave to Louisa. He's not going to force us to accept it. But as you read, each day that you read, you want more of this. You begin to, God expands your capacity to understand this language of heaven. God expands our capacity to begin to embrace with our intellect the mind of Christ, to begin to see things and understand things from a divine perspective, you know, and then with our memory, the three powers, intellect, memory, and will. With our memory, it's not to remember what they said against me or what they did against my family or what they did against my nation. It's to remember the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. That's why Louisa, when you read Louisa, she's always focused on Jesus and Mary. Her whole memory wasn't of what she went through, but how much she loved Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And so Jesus is saying, one person alone can adorn and fulfill its purpose. However, he says, my work, my divine work, my work as God never remained isolated. So I shall have the army of the souls who shall live in my divine will. See, this is something we are at war. This final battle is happening right now, where we're seeing all of humanity being affected. And our God is saying he is going to take care of it if we're with him. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be worried about, nothing to be anxious about. He says, I have to purify my church and the world. And that's what's happening today. It might seem rough. It might seem difficult, but God is in charge. And when you enter into the divine will, Jesus says, I want you to begin to live this peaceful, joyful, happy life. I want you to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. So he says, this army of souls who shall live in my divine will. So he's promising that as you read, as you study, as you surrender, you become part of this army of God. It's like what we're going through now. It's like Paris Island. You know, you got the sand fleas on the beach. You got tough things to go through. You've got the cold water. You've got exhaustion. This is spiritually what we're going through. And it's not to give up. It's not to surrender. It's to understand that we have been chosen to become part of God's army. And we're going to fight to the end. We're not going to give up. We're going to persevere to the end. That's what Jesus says to Louisa in the calendar. I think it was today or yesterday. He says, you must persevere with this gift. He says, don't give up on this. He says, Jesus says, I have chosen you to live at this time to fulfill what I have planned. God wins. God wins. So he says, this army of souls who will live in my divine will, and in these souls, I shall have the creation restored. Everything's going to be restored. Okay, so let's think about what the DNA of Adam was like. When God breathed that breath of God, the Ruach of God, into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. That was his DNA. Our DNA now is to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and become food for worms. This is not what God wants for us. And again, the evil one wants to distract us. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants to bring us to despair. And no, we're not going to do that. We know what our Savior is all about. We love our King, our Master, our Savior. We spend time with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day. Every day, at least an hour with him, to adore him and to love him and to praise him and to thank him and to bless him and to worship him. We attend Holy Mass. We receive Holy Communion. We have the sacraments and the sacramentals. God is protecting us. And he says, these souls who will live in my divine will are my army. In them, I shall have the creation restored. In them, us, creation is going to be restored. We're going to receive the DNA that Adam lost. And it's going to be even more glorious, because on Holy Saturday night, we say, oh, happy fall of Adam. Why are we happy about this? This life? It's because of what is coming. And it's not after we die. Jesus said, I rose from the dead so that humanity will rise from their human misery. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Now, nobody lives that fully yet, but that's God's promise. And he says, I rose from the dead so that people can rise from the death now before they die, to begin to live this abundant life where we are filled with peace, joy, and happiness, knowing our God, trusting in him, believing in him. God has given us the full deposit of faith in the Holy Church. When we read our dogma and our doctrine, what happens? It becomes alive with us. It's not just words. It becomes alive. And so Jesus says, and in these souls, I shall have creation restored. It will become again, all beautiful, all striking, just as it came out of my hands, my created hands. So here, what is coming? No eye has seen, no ear has heard. Adam saw it. Jesus and Mary have seen it. Louisa has been given this gift. And now God says, I want to give this to all of humanity, where there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will begin to live this abundant life, this universal life that was breathed into Adam. So our God is saying, I'm going to give you the way and the how this is going to happen. I'm going to teach you every day if you wish. I mean, he doesn't force us to do anything, but I will teach you every day if you wish. And I will teach you the things of heaven, the treasures of heaven, the secrets of heaven. That's what he says to Louisa. So what is coming for those souls who are reading the book of heaven is heaven. They are beginning to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness where no matter what we have to go through, it's fiat. Let it be done as you wish. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to try to understand the plan of God. It's God says this and it's okay. This is what you want, fiat. I'm not going to try to, 100 billion years in heaven, we're still not going to understand God. He's so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect. He's so infinite that we're just going to be in awe of God for all eternity. And all that the Lord is asking is, are you willing to come back to live the life that I have planned for Adam? So he says, otherwise, Jesus said, I would not have so much interest in making my most holy divine will known. So Jesus is saying, by giving you these truths, these promises, these knowledges that he has given to Louisa, he says, proves that I want this. I want this to happen. So what is the Lord doing as God? He's given everything to us. He's shed every drop of blood on the cross. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ on Calvary. She was with him on Calvary. And her heart was pierced in two, broken in half, as Jesus' heart was physically broken in half. So it's what God is saying is he needs us to come closer to him so that he can share his secrets with us. Why secret? Because this is the beauty of our God. He's hidden. The greatest secret that we have is the Eucharist, Jesus in the tabernacle. That flame near the tabernacle says Jesus is here. Our God is there. And the churches are empty. See, we know who's in the Blessed Sacrament, yet the churches are empty. The priests should, as John Paul II said, he wants Eucharistic adoration in every parish, not just for an hour, but to that. He says, if you're not spending time with our Eucharistic Lord, how can you know him? So our job is to, as priests, to make sure that the laity has the means to be with him, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him, worshiping him. And this is what God the Lord is asking. He's really asking, he says, there's only going to be a few that are going to do this. Not many. Most have too many things to do. The other great secret is the Holy Rosary. You know, the Holy Rosary. What is it? It's to see Jesus with the loving eyes of Mary, to know Jesus with the love of Mary. And most people don't pray the rosary, don't wear the scapular. It's that three things Our Lady asked: pray the rosary, wear the scapular, attend first Saturday masses. Few do that. How few it's going to be in the divine will. Because most people have many other things to do. Vine 15, 7, 11, 19, 23, you must know. There's the book You Must Know that's really good. Again, we're working on another book. It's Jesus Remains Silent. What you're going to experience with Jesus Remains Silent is every time Jesus says something so amazing, so amazing, he says to Louisa, Louisa writes, and then he remains silent. Then Jesus remains silent. Why? He wants us to meditate on what he just told Louisa. This isn't a book. It's not a novel. It's a conversation between Jesus and Luisa, Luisa and Jesus, and now between Jesus and us with Jesus. And as you enter into this, when it says, when you read, and then Jesus remains silent, okay, Jesus just said something really important, and he wants us to pray about this. Listen to him. So here, you must know it's the same thing. There's a book of all the times Jesus says, you must know. Luisa, you must know this. To understand the divine will, you must know this. So Jesus is the teacher. Jesus is the one who is helping us begin to understand this mystery, this language of heaven. And with any language, you have to become fluent in it to understand. So Jesus is saying, okay, to help you, you must know this. Another book is Be Attentive. He says, okay, be attentive to this, Luisa. I'm going to show you something. Be attentive. Now, right here, he says, you must know. He is going to reveal to us a truth that when we understand this truth, we it's like another step going up the stairs. We're getting a little closer to understand the why and the how the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. So he says that this fulfillment of my will is so great as to be numbered among the greatest works that the divinity has ever operated. He says to Luisa, this is the apostle of apostolates. He says, I could not give you a greater mission than this mission of the fulfillment of the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I could not give you a greater gift. You must know that this fulfillment, the fulfillment of my divine will is so great as to be numbered among the greatest works that the divinity has ever operated. Okay, what about creation? Well, he says, creation is all the I love yous. When we do our round of creation, we're beginning to let creation tell us of the love of God by what we see, by what we smell, by what we taste, by what we touch, by what we hear. God is, the creation is saying, this is what God has done. Just look at something under a microscope. Amazing. Look at something with a telescope. Amazing. And Jesus is saying to us, when you learn the rounds, you fall more in love with God. That's what St. Thomas Aquinas said. St. Thomas Aquinas says, you see the love of God in creation. We recognize that every now and then. Like if you're walking on a beach and you see something on the beach, you go, wow, what is that? And you pick it up. I've never seen anything like this before. This is so spectacular. God put that there from the beginning of time for us. That's how much he loves us. He thought of us knowing that we would be attracted to this object on the beach. But then all the leaves of the tree, he says, are I love yous. All the blades of grass are I love yous. Every drop of water is I love you. Every snowflake is an I love you. And we're like blind to it. We don't see it. We don't hear it. We don't smell it. We don't taste it. Jesus says in Vine 36, he says that the human senses were made for God. And as Catholics, we see God. Scripture says no man can see God and live. When the monstrance is there, when the host is held up and the priest says, look, this is the Lamb of God. We see God. We spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. We fall in love with our God. Our senses are being restored. You know, the smell of incense, the odor of sanctity makes us aware that when we see the incense going up, our prayers are going to the throne of God. We know God is going to answer our prayers. Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Everything is, God is getting everything ready. He's getting everything ready. So he says, the fulfillment of the divine will, you must know this. This is the greatest works that divinity has operated. And I, God, want the divine will to be known, so that in knowing its greatness and the immense goods that the divine will contains, souls may love it, souls may esteem it, souls may desire it. That's what happens. As you read the book of heaven, you get to that point of, of being so aware of how much God loves us that we begin to love it, esteem it, and desire it more than anything else. This gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, if the saints were alive today, they would be, if they could fight, if they could be jealous, they would be fighting for this, you know, to begin to hear what Jesus wants of us today to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. He says, I want it to be known. I want, in knowing its greatness, these immense goods that the divine contains, souls may love it, esteem it, and desire it. And he says, three times did the supreme divinity decide to operate ad extra. He says, the first was in creation. He says, the first was in creation. He says, and it was without intervention of any creature, any human. God said, fiat lux, creation began. Billions of galaxies, fiat lux, Jesus spoke, God spoke, the word spoke, and fiat lux, all of creation began. Our Lady, when she said fiat mihi, the second creation, the incarnation took place. And now Jesus says, he says, to give you the fiat voluntas tua. I want you to experience this fiat. So he says, three times that the supreme divinity decide to operate ad extra. The first was in the creation, and it was without the intervention of a man. And since none of them, mankind, had yet come out to the light of day, he says, it was God alone. The second was redemption. And with it, intervened a woman, the holiest, the most beautiful, my celestial mother, the holiest, the most beautiful one, my celestial mother. She was the channel and the instrument I, Jesus, used in order to fulfill the work of redemption. And the third fulfillment is the fulfillment of my divine will, that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says that is for the creature to live and to operate with the divine sanctity and the divine power of our most holy divine will. He says to work inseparably from creation, inseparably from redemption, just as the Sacrosanct Trinity is inseparable. So here is this. This is why every morning when we do our prevenient act, we fuse ourselves with the triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I want to be one with you. That's why we fuse ourselves with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. He says, the key to begin to understand the divine will is volume 17, May 4th, 1925. The Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth. And under the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. That's the prayer that we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. God's going to do this. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. You look at the lives of the saints. Let's build a cathedral. Let's build a school. Let's build an orphanage. Let's build a hospital. Let's build a convent. Let's build a monastery. Jesus says, I'm now going to take control. I am now going to give to humanity what they lost in the beginning. I'm going to bring this new and abundant life, which is not new at all. It's the oldest life. It's Adam's life. When Adam lost it, Jesus comes to earth as the new Adam. And now he's going to give this life, the new Adam and the new Eve, to mankind. God has got everything planned. And all that he asks is, are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to say fiat? Are you willing to listen to what God Almighty is going to teach us? And that to me is what I read in sacred scripture. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths, and he will remind you of everything that I have said. when we read the book of heaven, every day as you read, Jesus keeps on expanding our capacity to understand this word of God. I'm not saying it's sacred scripture. Sacred scripture is sacred scripture. But what Jesus is telling Louisa, he calls this the gospel of the kingdom. And as a matter of fact, when you read Matthew 24, what does Jesus say? Until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world. He's giving us a little hint. He doesn't use the gospel of the kingdom by chance. He knows what he's doing. And he says, at first, there's going to be very few. Very few are going to go, I want this. If you have a little desire, begin to read. And I remember this one priest years ago. He came to the retreat and he was a grump. He was an older priest, and he was so finally, then he showed up and he said, the people brought him to the second retreat. And the second retreat, he was completely different. He goes, this is something, since the last retreat, something has changed. And finally he came to the third retreat and he was the happiest man I've ever met in my life. He says, do you know what this is? It was like the veil was lifted and he could see very clearly that he was alive today for a very special reason. God is going to use his priesthood to change the face of the earth. And he says, this is so amazing what God is going to do. And it's very close. What's going to happen is very, very close. And our job is to just say fiat in the good times and the bad. Lord, you're in charge. I trust you. Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. So Jesus says this. So the most beautiful, the most holy, my celestial mother, she was the channel and the instrument that I, God, used in order to fulfill the work of redemption. And now the third is the fulfillment of my divine will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is for the creature, the human, to live and operate with the divine sanctity and the divine power of God's most holy divine will, to work inseparable from creation and redemption, just as the sacrosanct Trinity is inseparable. This is not just about just anything, Jesus says. This is about a divine decree. It's going to happen. Remember, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Okay, the gates of hell it's a full attack against the church. All the heresies of the last 2,000 years is against the church again. With the internet, everybody's reading things and they, the church, the Catholic Church did this, the Catholic Church did that, it's a full attack against the church. And what our God is asking us to do is, not to panic, but how can we fight over the centuries, it was one heresy at a time, maybe two. But we fought it and won. This is, everything's coming at us. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you something that will really amaze the world. And that's what we see in the book of heaven. The book of heaven he's teaching us how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our triune God, is going to win this battle that's been going on from the beginning between good and evil, between heaven and hell, between the Lord Jesus and Satan. God is going to win. And he needs us, the priests, we're the officers of his army. And he needs us to enter into this life of love, of light. So he says that the battle that we're in is not a battle of blood. It's a battle of love. And through this love of God, which is the divine will, through this ocean of divine love that we're asked to dive into, what's going to happen is God is going to win in the most powerful way, in the most magnificent way. God wins. And so he says, This is not just about anything. This is about a divine decrees, about giving us, triune God, the field to let us accomplish the work of creation and the work of redemption. It's not accomplished yet. It's not accomplished yet. Remember, some of the angels are bound. Some of the angels are sealed. When that cord is cut, when the Lord says you're free of, they've been bound for all of creation. Because their role is at the end times. Their role is to protect the communities. Their role is to protect the church. So they're bound. One angel is more powerful than all the nuclear weapons ever developed, going off at the same time. God is going to say, go. And when he says go, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. God is going to win. And he's asking us to be in this army where he wants us to be so faithful, so obedient, so true to him that he in us is working, not us. So he says this. So therefore, just as we, triune God, entrusted our mama, Mary, to St. John, and that she might deposit in him and from him to the Holy Church, the treasures, the graces, and all of my teachings that I had deposited in the Blessed Mother during the course of my life, when she was entrusted to me and I acted as priest to her, as I deposited in her as in a sanctuary, all the laws, all the precepts, all the doctrines that the church was to possess, and she, faithful as she was and jealous of every, even one word of mine, deposited them in my faithful disciple, John, so that these truths might not be lost. Therefore, my mother, Mary, has primacy over the whole church. And then he says this. And again, this is important. So I have done with you, Louisa. Since the fiat, fiat voluntasta must serve the whole church, I, God, entrust to you a priest of mine. Okay, that's St. Honorable de Francia. And St. Honorable de Francia was friends with St. Pius X. I remember being at the house, the Rogationist house in Rome, and I was talking to the postulator. He became a good friend of mine. He's Father Pignatelli. I said, is it true that, you know, St. Honorable de Francia was good friends with St. Pius X? And he goes, we think, we're not sure. And I'm not, that's the honest truth. I'm saying that there's a shelf and I see it looks like Pius X. You know, so I picked it up and I looked at it and I said, what does this say? It was, you know, and he looks at it and he reads it and he goes, they were friends. But it was, what God is doing is he's getting everything ready. He's getting everything ready. So he says, the fiat voluntastua, which we live, which Louisa lived fully, what God is asking us to live in, must serve the whole church. I entrusted you to a priest, St. Honorable de Francia, of mine, and that you may deposit in him everything I have manifested to you, Louisa, about my divine will, the goods contained in the divine will, how the creature must enter into the divine will. I mean, God is showing us how he's going to do this and what we have to do. We don't have to. I mean, we have a free will. But when you read this, you go, you're really offering this to me? You're really offering this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies? And God goes, I can't find anybody else. I can't find anybody else. So we say yes to God, and he says the goods contained in the divine will, how the soul must enter into the divine will, how the paternal goodness wants to operate another era of grace. This is what's coming. Placing God's goods that he possesses in the heavens and in common with the creature, and giving back to the soul the lost happiness of living in the divine will. Just think about the DNA of Adam. He says, I want to give this back to humanity. Our Lord loves us so much. He loves the church so much that he has this planned. And he's planned that we be alive at this time. We're nobodies. We're nothings. God is everything. But he has said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this with nothing. So the great thing is we are basically at the bottom of the barrel. And if you've ever made wine and you go down to the bottom, it's all mush at the bottom. It's all goo at the bottom. And Jesus says, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this to make the best of wine. We can't limit him. If we say to the Lord, well, it's not for me. God says, that's right. It's not for you. You've already said no to God. But if we say to the Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. This is what Our Lady said. Remember, the angel said to our Blessed Mother, you're going to be the mother of God. And she goes, how can this be? I've vowed a life of virginity. I'm not going to know man. I don't know man. How can I help God do this? What can I do that will make me what God wants? And the angel said it would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, fiat mihi, I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done as you wish, as you say, as you speak. It's the same thing here. When we're reading, I do this often. How are you going to? You're talking about sharing in divinity. That's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. You know, you've got nothing here. And yet you want us to be divinized, as St. Peter says in the epistle. He wants us to be divinized, not to become gods, but to share in divinity. This is what God has planned from the beginning of time for all of humanity. And Adam lost it. Jesus comes to earth as the new Adam, Mary as the new Eve, to bring back humanity so that we can be redeemed to be ready for what? It's sanctification. That's why he says, the fiat voluntas tua in the Our Father. Nobody knows what they're praying at this point. I will explain, he says, in detail, why I have asked you, Louisa, and the souls that are linked to you, Louisa, to serve the whole church and entrust this deposit of the secrets and the treasures of God to all of humanity. Everyone will be Catholic. Everybody will possess the universal life that Adam lost. That's God's plan. And now is the time he's going to do it. Now is the time he's going to say, basically, are you ready? Are you ready to receive this abundant life? Are you willing to say yes? Listen to Our Lady. What can I do to help you, Lord? How can you use me? What do I need to do? And it's the same thing. It will be through the power of the Holy Spirit, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this second Pentecost that's coming. Will make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket. That was the first fruits. You know, strawberries, asparagus, rhubarb. But the second Pentecost is the harvest. Everything is ready. Jesus says basically to Louisa, everything's ready. Everything's done. Now it needs to be known. And it needs to be known by my priests, he says. So therefore he says, be attentive. Be faithful to me, Jesus says. Our response is when we read, yes, Lord, I want to be attentive. Yes, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. We'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for all the little children, the holy divine will to be divinely healed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.